Are you living your passion? What is your passion? Welcome to the Lux Life Discovered podcast, where we talk with people who are living a lifestyle that reflects their passion, because we believe everyone should enjoy living their best life, their Lux Life.
Hello, and thank you for watching another episode of Lux Life Discovered. I'm Rick Steiner. This is my co-host, Shannon Richmond. And we're glad you're here today. We'll be talking with Forrest Bishop, who is the owner of Grits Coastal Southern Catering here in Panama City Beach. And so we're glad to have Forrest with us today. So tell us a little bit about your company, what all you do, and how you got started. How's that? We'll begin
there. Absolutely. Okay, so my company is called Grits Coastal Southern Catering. So we have a private chef service, and as well as doing catering all over the Panama City Beach to 38 area, a little bit in Destin. So we cover a pretty broad part of the panhandle.
And did you say, are you from here?
Yes, yes, I wasn't born here, but I grew up here. Panama City Beach is definitely home.
That's awesome. And how long ago did you start Grits?
About a year and a half.
Wow.
About a year and a half now?
Yeah. So that's as long as we've known each other.
That's right, yeah. Well, that's good because I met you apparently just not too long after you began your business then.
Yes, you did. Yeah. Yes.
So great. Where does your passion for cooking and the chef part of it come in?
Oh, absolutely. I think it probably started when I was a little girl. Our parents had these flower beds outside of our bedroom windows, and they said, pick your flowers, pick whatever you want. I picked cherry tomatoes to go in mine. But when I was in middle school, now my mom, she cooked well. She really did, but she didn't like to cook. It wasn't her passion.
Right.
And so I remember being in middle school at the school library and finding the cookbook section and asking the librarian to scan it. I took it home and said, Mom, I want to cook dinner tonight. I want to make this. I know it sounds crazy, but she took me to the store. And from then on, I started cooking dinners. And in high school, she would actually write countries on scraps of paper and put it in a coffee mug. And the country I picked out would be what we would cook all weekend. We would just focus on taste from that place. And so she was always very, very supportive. And after high school, I went to culinary school. Gulf Coast State College has a great program. I loved everyone there. Took some classes there. Worked at tons of restaurants along 30A and in Panama City and Panama City Beach. And then I started my first company shortly after, Little Lunchbox Lady. So I would make these gourmet lunchboxes, something different every day, and deliver them all over town. And then I met my now husband and moved to Alabama. I worked at this nonprofit organization, and I ended up working a lot with caterers, setting up. We set up a lot of events together, and I just fell in love with it. It was all my favorite things about cooking, all my favorite things about events and making people happy. I was meant to be in hospitality. I love making people happy. It's important to me. I love cooking, so it was just the perfect blend. When we came back to Panama City, I said, okay, I am starting my catering company. I've had it in my head for a while now, and so yeah, wow. A year and a half later, I am so happy. I feel like I'm living my dream right now, definitely.
Well, good, and that's part of the whole purpose of this podcast is Lux Life Discovered, and this you're representing exactly what I wanted to showcase on the podcast, because you are living your Lux Life. You're doing what your passion is, and you're enjoying it, and you're doing very well with it. But back to your mom for a minute. When she let you draw the country of what y'all were going to cook the weekend, you realize she just won the weekend off, right?
I mean, that was okay. It was a win-win for everyone.
Good, good. She played that very well. I'm impressed. So. And then your husband, we had talked earlier, he is from Panama City Beach, so both of your families have been here?
Yeah, when I met him, he didn't live here, but both of our families were from here, so we ended up moving back, and our moms were so happy that we were both from here.
Right.
But, yeah, so we both live here, love Panama City Beach, it's our favorite place in the world. We always knew we'd move back.
Right. Well, we were talking earlier when we did the intro, you know, once you fall in love with the area, there's no leaving. I mean, it's just
definitely
a beautiful area, and so I'm not surprised by that. So we're glad to have you back. So as an event planner, you know, when doing corporate events, weddings, and those type of events, you know, food can be bland, or it could be the highlight of the event, mm-hmm. and you want it to be the highlight, because I'm sure same situation I've been in before, where you go to an event or a wedding, and the food may not be exactly...
It has a stigma. Wedding food has a stigma. Definitely here to break it.
Right.
Yes.
So tell me, because I know I was just asking you earlier about your recent story on Instagram, your Instagram story. beautiful setup and beautiful meal. So tell me, like, what, I know you do the wedding part, but also your private events you do. Kind of give me a little, give us a little look into that.
Absolutely. So I have a seasonal menu all the time that I will send out to brides or anyone inquiring first thing. But so we have our seasonal menu, and we use a lot of local produce and a lot of local vendors and things to make that happen. But I also, after I send that menu, I like talking to whoever I'm throwing an event for, and we talk about what they like, what they don't like, what their favorite foods are, what they crave, and make a more personal menu after that that I'll send secondary.
This episode of Lux Life Discovered is brought to you in part by Steiner Event Group. Steiner Event Group is a national event planner that produces results for their clients. They offer event and wedding planning on any scale, hosting bridal shows, scouting talented models, and producing riveting concept photo shoots to help their clients expand their brands, products, and services. Whether you're a business professional aiming to take your brand to the next level, planning a corporate or private event, a bride seeking to have the wedding of your dreams, or a model ready to be discovered, Steiner Event Group is ready for you.
How have things changed from when you first started a year and a half ago to when you would cater an event or a wedding? How have things progressed and changed for weddings? Like, we were talking about how it's like an event, a huge event, not just you get your food. And how have those progressed?
Oh, absolutely. So I was actually flipping through some of my old culinary textbooks this morning and just looking at all these ancient banquets, which it was equal part food and equal part goods on display. So they had these huge, very imaginative, grand presentations when they were doing these banquets. And so, for example, the one I was reading about this morning, they had a ram that they poached in water, put back in its skin, horns and all, and put it in a giant gold basin right in the middle of this giant buffet. Now, I don't think modern brides are looking for that exactly, but I do think right now with displays, it's getting back to being these grand presentations. I think that with charcuterie boards where they want eucalyptus spilling out and these beautiful structures and these action stations, I think, you know, everything on Pinterest and Instagram, it's getting more and more grand, which I love. I love it personally. It makes me so happy. But yeah, definitely getting back to these big, beautiful, it's art. It's not just food on a table anymore. It has to be an art. It has to be just beautiful, match these beautiful weddings that are happening now. Yeah.
The action stations are definitely making a comeback.
Yes.
I'm glad to see that, because two reasons. First of all, it's not your typical buffet line, you know? Mm-hmm. And so with the action stations, you have certain, you know, items featured, certain foods featured, and you can kind of speed the process. At the same time, it's something beautiful and impressive, and it's very memorable.
And there are no rules now. If you want to have hors d'oeuvres when your guests are coming in for cocktail hour, and then you want to do a full buffet or a plated dinner, and then if you want at the end of the night when everyone's done dancing, you want to do a macaroni and cheese bar or something crazy afterwards,
yes.
You know, there are no rules. You can do anything you want to, and I love to see it.
Yeah. And you brought up a good point of, like, we call it the exit food, but the food at the end, that is making a huge comeback, because, you know, previously people wouldn't think about it. They'd be like, well, we've already fed them. We're not going to do anything else. But having the little snacks, or it can be, like you said, the macaroni and cheese, or it could be like a full dessert bar, coffee bar.
Oh, definitely.
Those are all impressive comebacks that make it more fun, more appealing, you know? So, well, good.
Is there anything that you just love doing? Is there like one food type that you love to prepare? Or is it just all the excitement and the fun of building the event?
No, I think the excitement and the fun of building it. I think my favorite thing that I feel so lucky doing what I'm doing right now is after talking to the bride and groom and learning about their love story, whether it's at a tasting or wherever we are, learning about their past and their heritage and putting it into the menu. I've been doing a lot of fusion menus lately. Right now I have a bride and she is Colombian and he's a Southern boy. And so we are doing a Colombian Southern mix. So we are doing grit and collard empanadas. We're doing, it's so much fun. I love doing that. And I have another bride who is obsessed with all things Disney. So of course we are making her dreams happen. We're having a huge Disney themed wedding buffet. It's just so much fun. I love talking to them about, you know, make it personal for their wedding day.
Exactly.
The biggest part is you just making it so it reflects them. That's my favorite thing, is when you walk into a wedding and your guest and you say, oh, that is such a Sharon thing, or that is oh my gosh, that is her, that is.
And it makes it more special, more enjoyable for everybody.
Absolutely.
And that's one thing with planning events and weddings. I always want to reflect the style and personality of the client or the bride, because if you don't, it's just another picture book wedding. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the personal aspects, the personal touches, even down to the food, I think I'm sold on that. So that's great. And also, Shannon, I don't know if you know this, but Forrest did the meal for a concept shoot we did last,
a few months now.
Yes, the time goes so quickly.
Is that the one we did at the Sheraton?
Yes.
Oh, I was there.
And we were going to do just the plated plates at the sweetheart table. And so we had some things in mind that we talked about, and then she's like, what if I just did like a lobster?
I messaged him the morning of, and I said, listen, how about we just do a giant lobster, make it look just flamboyant and crazy,
right.
And we're going to make these sweetheart tables. We're going to deck them out.
So what was I going to say? No, I'd rather not. Yeah.
We had talked about certain things, shrimp and grits or this and that, and the morning of, I was like, lobster, though.
Yeah. And I like that when somebody has that creative, influence, and they want to make it special.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. She just made it her own to display what you were trying to get out there.
Oh, exactly.
So that's awesome.
The presentation was on point for sure. And the bride and groom in the shoot, they loved the meal as well. So, yeah. And we're going to be doing another shoot soon.
Oh, so, I'm so excited.
It's kind of, we'll talk a little about this. The setup is going to be very upscale, very classy, and very modern. And so we're going to have a black glass top table. And then you're thinking of doing black mussels. Is that right? Did we talk?
Oh, yes. Just on just from what you sent me and the whole vibe that I see that you're doing, I thought that doing a giant seafood medley with black mussels, a little bit of octopus, maybe almost like a paella sort of feel to it. I think that would look really great.
Yeah.
So, I just think that you telling her what kind of event you like, she finding out about the people and what they like, and then creating it is just magical. That's awesome.
It is, yeah.
And like you said, when somebody comes in and says, oh my gosh, this is a Disney, this is so Lacey, that
yes.
You nailed it. That's awesome that you listen to what they want and then you produce. And it may not even be anything they were thinking, but when they see it, they're like, that is so me. That's awesome.
Thank you. It's so much fun. I love doing it. Makes me so happy.
Okay, and that is something that's exceptional, because in the wedding business, the event business, listening and being able to bring that vision to life is key. And not everybody can do that. I mean, there are certain, just like with cakes, for example, there are a lot of cakes that look great, but they're not the best to eat. Or they don't look the best, but they're delicious, So combining the two is key, and it's just like with you, being able to bring not only the food that represents their personality and styles and their culture, but the taste to go along with it, that's exceptional.
Oh, thank you.
So what do you love about living in Panama City Beach? What's this area for you?
Oh, gosh, the people. I feel like it's either the biggest small town or the smallest big town. I don't know which it is, but I love the people here. The vendors are amazing. It's just a great place to live. I love Panama City. Great place to get married. It's a great place to just be.
Well, with the world's most beautiful beaches,
it's
kind of hard to beat.
That's true. So in the last even year and a half since you started your business, what are you seeing as a trend more with the private dinners? Is there a certain trend that's coming?
Yes, I don't know if it's a post-COVID thing, or I'm not sure, but private dinners have blown up in the last year. So I cook a lot of those. I'll go to Airbnbs or people's homes. Or just do drop-offs, but normally that's off my seasonal menu. They'll call, say, hey, what are you doing a lot of right now? And I'll send them some ideas, and then go and cook it at their homes and present it there.
How nice.
She does, like I said, presentation is key as well as the excellent food. So, and her presentation is just, it's on point for sure. So with your referrals, like from the people coming in, and saying at the various condos or beach homes along 30A and PCB, how do you get your referrals?
Yeah, so I do have a short-term condo menu and lots of dips and soups and...
So just anything you can customize anything that they
absolutely.
Want as well.
So, yes, yeah. Absolutely. So I have this great couple, and I drop off food for them at least once a week. And she is pregnant right now, so she is always having all kinds of cravings.
Right.
So I send her a new menu every week, and I say, oh, I think that this is tasty. I know that he loves sauces, and she loves seafood. And so I try and send them things every week that I feel like just nail it, you know, that they are going to love. But it's funny, she put some things on her Instagram story about, oh, no one ever does dirt pies anymore with the little gummy worms, and definitely
yeah.
not something on my menu. But of course, I had to drop her off one last time I over there.
And it meant a lot to her as well. So,
Yeah, she was like, I can't believe you did that. And I was like, of course.
So what do you think your biggest challenge is in what you do?
This episode of Lux Life Discovered is brought to you in part by Orville's Men's Store. Thank you, Orville's Men's Store, for supplying the men's clothing for today's podcast. For the absolute best in casual and dress wear for men, visit orvillesms.com. That's orvillesms.com.
COVID, too, it's also increased your business somewhat, hasn't it?
With the drop-offs, and absolutely, there was a small time where people weren't going to restaurants, and
right.
We're looking for a delivery.
Yeah, that's been an advantage, I would think, because, you know, nobody... So many people didn't want to get out and couldn't get out. So I can see where that would be a good advantage in that situation. You hate to say an advantage during a bad time. But
no, it's definitely hard starting an events business, a catering business mid-pandemic.
Right.
But that's just how the cookie crumbled, you know. Yeah. When we were ready to start, it was going on. And we, you know, just decided to keep on going with it. And I'm glad that we did. Because there's definitely a time where I was like, I don't know if I should. But I'm glad
Glad you did.
Very glad.
That's definitely living your passion. When you do it during that time, it's like, if I can make it through this, we can make it through anything. So, yeah, that's good.
So what do you like to do on your free time when you're not cooking? Do you like to go somewhere to eat, or do you critique where you eat, or is it hard to eat?
Oh, no. I definitely have my favorite places around here. I love gardening, too. That's a big thing. And then just playing with the produce that I make at home. But my husband loves to cook, too, and we get a little competitive.
Okay. Is he a better cook?
No, he's a different cook. He's a different cook. So sometimes I will make something, and the next day he'll make his version of the same thing. And then I'm like, oh, okay, so this is how we're... And so then we go back and forth, like chili. Right now it's starting to be chili season again, and we have a huge... He has a certain way he makes his chili. I have a way I make mine. Sometimes we bring both to family potlucks.
Do you get mad? Do you get mad when like whoever has the most that's eaten?
No. I think he is a really great cook too. And a lot of times I'll have him come and come to the kitchen and say, "Oh, Tessa, I'm making it for a wedding tomorrow. What do you think?" And you know, like, "Oh, I love that. What if you did this?" So we bounce off each other all the time.
That's
and
good.
You might see him at events too. He's my muscle most of the time, bringing stuff in and out.
Wow, my wife would never ask me what I thought. She's like, wants me to like it, of course, but she had never asked me for my input to like what could she do differently. So
trying to outdo him sometimes. I've created some strange concoctions, but they end up being some of my favorites and things that made it onto the menu. So
what are some of what you consider your strangest or most unusual menu items?
Oh my goodness. So going back to that personalized menu, I had someone reach out recently, and he's a historian. Him and his wife love all things Norse mythology and Viking. And so I just made a custom menu for them. And that was so fun to make. They wanted their dogs included, but they really wanted to be kind of Norse feel to it. So we did, there's a giant tree of life. I'm probably going to say it wrong. I think it's Yggdrasil, or that's probably so off. I'm sorry, anyone out there. It's this giant tree of life in Norse mythology where everything stems from. And so I said, okay, for the first course, we are getting a giant chunk of tree in here, and we are going to fill it up with all kinds of cured meats and cheeses and honeycomb. And Miersmar's well apparently goes under it, and it's actually the stream of knowledge where Odin plucked out an eyeball and popped it in and gained knowledge from this well. And so we were going to have drinks accompanying it that were going to have little floating eyeballs. So that was the first course. Second course was very traditional Viking. They used to have these stews that would go on all the time. They were continuous. They would never go off the fire. And so they would take food out, and they would be throwing in new meats and seafood all the time. And so it's just these huge, continuous stews that they would do. So we were going to do a stew like that and have some barley bread on the side and, of course, pair it with a mead. And then for the final course is Biofrost. We could have gone a lot of different directions with this dessert, but Biofrost is, I guess, it's this giant flaming rainbow bridge from the immortal world to the mortal world in Norse mythology. And so I said, okay, this is what we're doing for dessert. You ready? Okay, so we're going to do a take on a baked Alaska, which, if you're not familiar, it's ice cream and cake, and it's surrounded by this meringue. And we are putting a giant rainbow cotton candy cage over it, putting liqueur on the bottom and lighting it on fire. So it is the Biofrost. It's this flaming rainbow dessert. So once that cotton candy, once it lights up, it toasts the meringue underneath. So you have this toasted, ice creamy. And then, of course, they wanted their dogs incorporated. So we have small things throughout the dinner that are going to their little pups, too, which are also named after Norse mythology gods. So,
and
that's amazing.
I know. I'm just, like, blown away by that. So there's so much that goes research that goes into.
Oh, definitely. I learned so much researching this. But it was fun. And they were so passionate about it that it just. They could go anywhere for their anniversary dinner, you know, but they want it to be an event. You know, they want it to be special to them and an experience, culinary experience. That's what they wanted.
So I bet you learn a whole lot when people say, this is what I like, or this is the tradition I am. You go and research.
Absolutely. I'm actually surprised how much, when I started a catering company, I thought it would be all kitchen work, all chopping, all, but it's a lot of being at a computer too, sending out, contracts, researching a lot of stuff when I'm putting menus together. But I love it. It's like the Colombian and the Southern, you know, it was a lot of looking into Colombian food and, oh, I think that would actually taste really well with a pepper sauce and just piecing it together layer by layer.
That's well, so it's not just cooking.
No. And I think that we're missing out on a chef's meal one night.
I think so.
Yeah. So we need to work that into our schedule sometime. But no, that's amazing because I didn't even think about that part of it. And then how you take the what you find it like at the client's request and incorporate more than just food is an experience.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And that's the wedding that you saw on my Instagram story from a few days ago. That's one of the things she said when she reached out. She said, we don't want this to just be a catered meal. We want it to be an experience for our wedding. I said, okay. I understand the assignment. Yeah. We're doing it. Yes, absolutely. So we did the shrimp and grits, but you know what? We did local grits. We did local shrimp. We did all local things, which was important to her and important to me as well. But then we went out with local hot sauce flights too and let everyone sample some cranberry hot sauce or some this. So definitely tried to make it into an experience for her.
And that's something that the clients and the guests will always remember too, because you know, there's a lot of things you don't remember about an event. Sometimes the food is the one thing you do remember. Whether it's good or bad, you remember it, you know?
I might be a little biased. I think it's one of the most important parts, too.
Well, it is, yes, it is. Because it's one of the most, I hate to say it, a lot of times it's overlooked because they're looking at everything else that's going on with that wedding, you know, dress and flowers and all that. But I'm glad to see the food is taking the right place where it should, because that's one of the largest expenses. And so, it's good to see that it's coming back into the right perspective.
So, yeah. That's so much fun. I just want to tell you a name of something and let you come up with something. I would be just so excited to see what it was going to end
we
up.
We may do like a Chef Forest Challenge. That's what we could do.
It.
We could start that. Yes. Have like... we had to think about that.
We would come up with a theme or just say...
And just say, yeah. And then,
just say a couple words to her and see what she
and
gets.
And what kind of, yeah. Would you be up to that sometime?
Oh, absolutely. That sounds like much fun. You guys are going to keep me sharp. I love it.
I know.
Oh.
We are, yeah.
I would love that.
So we're going to... Okay, we're going to brainstorm on that right away. So yes. Yeah, I think that's good. Well, thank you so much for coming today and being a part of our podcast. And as I said earlier, you're our first guest on kicking the podcast off. So we did a little intro earlier, and I've been impressed with you since I met you, you know, several months ago, and still wanting us to work on an event together at some point. We've done this shoot and another concept shoot coming up, but I've just always been impressed with your personality, your enthusiasm, and your passion, and of course, the food is exceptional. So, you know, that's
key. Thank you. So, yeah. I am so honored to be the first one on your show. This is exciting. I've never done anything like this. Like I was saying before, I'm much better at cooking than speaking. This has been great. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I learned a whole lot.
I have too. Even I thought I knew a lot, but that whole experience you did for the historian and his wife, for the anniversary, that's going to stay with me for sure.
Me too.
All right. Well, thank you. Appreciate it very much.
All right. So, thank you guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks for joining us again today on Lux Life Discovered. Our next guest will be Robin Evans, the COO of By the Sea Resorts, and we look forward to talking with her. See you soon. Thanks.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and want to support our show, leave us a review. That's the number one way to help this show reach others just like you. Join us next time for another Lux Life Discovered.